everybody. So we did it. We made it. Can't believe we ate it. And now we're on the way home. Let's see. Denver, 239 miles. So I got about 289 miles, 290 miles. Almost 300 till home. That's a good measure of how far we are away right now. It's really nice that this whole road, the whole way, there's road signs that tell you how fucking far away you are. I could really do without that. I left kind of late because, for those of you who don't know, the entire road back from the mountains to Denver becomes like just that hellscape. It doesn't seem like it matters what time of year it is or what the weather is or whatever. If you go back through there any time between, I don't know, noon and 8 p.m., it's just shit. So I kind of hung out here until 6, and I'll be hitting that spot maybe about 10:30, hoping that there won't be any fucking traffic there, but we'll see. So I came up for the Comic-Con, and as part of the Comic-Con, I stayed with a guy who lives here. That way they could have me come up, and I didn't have to pay for a hotel, and they didn't either. And it was one of those things, like I was saying before, that you agree to, and then as it comes up, I was like, man, why didn't I just get a hotel? You know, not that there's anything wrong with any of it, but it's just so much easier. But anyway, I stayed at the house, it was cool, everything was fine. It was, his grandfather built this house. It was in this little neighborhood of small ranch-style homes, which I liked sort of that. The size of a lot of them and the whatever. I mean, his house is basically the size of where I live now. A little bigger. But not much, and it's no basement, nothing like that. And his grandfather built it, and it's like, it's got this really old carpet in there and these old bathroom sort of countertops and stuff like that that you can tell are left from that time. And this like textured ceiling, not the popcorn ceiling, but where it's like brushed in these circular waves. So it was cool. It was fine. He has a guest room. So I just stayed in there. But here's the thing. Here's why it's important that I tell you that I stayed with this person and why. So I get there yesterday and I did one of their events, and then, he was like, well, I have to get set up for the Comic-Con, but I have to come back here tonight and do that after we're closed. So, you know, we can go eat some dinner, and I'll take you back to my place so you can see it and give you a key and stuff. And then, you know, I'll be going back to the library, and I might be there for, like, a few hours. And I was like, right on. That's no problem. You know, I think he was real worried about that. Like, what are we going to do? And I could tell you from a guest perspective, I don't think most guests are this way. You know, I gather that, like, when people's parents come into town, they're not this way. But from my perspective, like, when someone says, hey, I know you're staying at my place, but, you know, I got some shit I gotta do for a few hours, I'm fine with that. Like, that's great news to me. I feel like, cool, you know, I can walk around to Hastings for an hour. That's not a problem. It's better. We don't need to be now, you know, besties for life and attached at the hip because I'm staying at your place. Don't worry. I'm good. Just like when I don't stay at your place, I can handle myself. So he was like, let's go eat some dinner, and then I'm going to have to go back. And I said, right on. So we're eating dinner. And he was saying, you know, I'm hoping I can get to this art show. I have a friend who's showing some art at this thing, and I'm hoping I can maybe pop over there before I go back to the library, too. Which I was like, yeah, it sounds cool. Whatever. And so he talked about it a little more, and he's like, well, I think I'm going to have time, and you're welcome to come. Here's the thing. It's an erotic art show. And, you know, he was telling me because I think he felt like, listen, I don't want to just take someone to an art show and then be like, oh, I didn't know it would be an erotic art show. Or, you know, he's like, I can't vouch for the contents or quality. I don't really know. I don't really know what this is going to be. Which was fine with me. That doesn't bother me. It's not so much, I'm not bothered by erotic art, or like, I'm not offended. I don't think I've ever seen a piece of art that made me super offended that way. Not a piece of erotic art, anyway. I don't know. I guess it depends on how loose your definition of art is. I've certainly seen some motion pictures. You know, I'm offended by Sweet Home Alabama. Do you want to call that art? I don't know if I would, but I'm sure some people would. I'm sure there was art involved. I'm sure whoever lit that movie, it looked very good and professional, and that was artistically done. But on the other hand, you know, there's somebody who lights the paintings at the art museum. I don't know if they're necessarily participants in that piece of art. So there you go. And the overall, Sweet Home Alabama, not art. Okay? Fuck that movie. Fuck that movie. I don't care if Reese Witherspoon had to make 100 of those to make Wild. It wasn't worth it. What is your soul worth, Reese Witherspoon? Jesus Christ. You know, I think Cheryl Strayed went on that walk just specifically because shit like that. You know, to get those images out of her mind. Anyway. So I told him, like, well, I mean, I'm not, like, an easily offended guy, and I'm not going to be pissed off at you if I see something, and I'm like, whoa, this art is gross or erotic or whatever. I'm not offended by erotic art, but I don't think I like it. I didn't think I like it before I went to this thing, and now I'm pretty sure I don't really like it. It's weird. Like, I don't really know how to separate the eroticisms from the artisisms. Right? Like, where does art begin and erotic end? Or where, you know, do they begin and end? Are they overlapping? Like, when I see a well-painted picture of a lady in a, you know, holding a Nintendo controller to cover her boobs, right? Which is one of the things that was there. Like, I'm cool with that. It seems fine. I don't have a problem with it. But, like, that's not, it's not something I'm going to hang on my wall. It's not something that makes me think. Maybe that's the thing with erotic art. I could totally see why, at one time, the nude female form would be such a good idea as a thing to do art with, right? Because even just 30 years ago, it's not like you had the option to see a bajillion naked women just by Googling naked women. And, like, to some extent, maybe the naked women in these paintings weren't getting the credit they deserved for basically being the art. I mean, some of these portraits, right, are artistic because they're well-rendered, but also the subject matter is interesting. I don't know. Is it just how well you can... Is it how much this naked woman looks like a naked woman, or how much the art, like, expresses the idea of naked woman-ness or something like that? Or is it, what is it? I don't know. So anyway, he tells me it's an erotic art show, and I'd already was like, oh, I'm cool, I'll go. And then I started being like, oh man, why'd I say that? And I don't want to back out and be like, no, that's weird, because then I feel like I'm saying to him, it's weird that you're going to an erotic art show. Like, I don't want to put shame on somebody else, and I don't know. I figured we'd go, I'd be there for a half hour, it'd be cool, right? Which we did go. I was there for probably a half hour, but I don't think it was cool. Okay, so let me describe what's going on. We showed up a little earlier, I guess, than most people, and the showing part was pretty small. Now, here's what was funny, too. You go in, and there's these people manning a desk at the front, and they're like, $3 suggested donation. Which is a hilarious, I guess that must be some way around, like, a tax thing or something. Because if you're like, well, here's a suggested donation, but you don't have to pay. But it didn't seem super optional when we went up to the desk. It wasn't like, hey, if you pay $3, it's going to go towards these artists or this charity. It was more like, hey, $3, that's what we suggest you donate. And whatever. Again, I'm fine with that. You know, I'm supportive of an art scene. I just thought it was weird how unsuggested and sort of... There needs to be a different word for suggested donation. You know, that means, this is the admission price, but we're not going to force everyone, or, like, we don't want to be dicks about it, but here's how much it costs. How about that? Just be like, I don't want to be an asshole, but here's how much it costs. And I get it. Like, if I did an erotic art show, I would charge an admission. Here's what I would do. I would charge like a token admission and then be like, it goes towards, I don't know, sexual assault hotline or whatever. I've thought about doing that, like with events. Like, let's say you did a running club, right? And you did it on, I don't know, fucking Sundays or something. I'd be like, you gotta pay $2. Because I think that gets people a little bit more invested in showing up and, like, they have expectations that there's actually gonna be some shit there. And then, you know, the $2 would just go towards, like, a charity of choice. We could have a charity wheel, and it would go towards that. Or it would just go towards a selected Kickstarter project or something like that. I figure that's a better thing than admission or whatever. But I understand. Anyway. So we go in, and they've got the art gallery set up. And the art falls into a few different categories. One was erotic photography, which was like a lot of, you know, girl in a gas mask holding a machine gun type of stuff. I don't know if most people consider that a type of stuff, but I do. I mean, I've seen, this is the kind of thing I've seen sort of like the, hey, this is like an, if Vice magazine came out today, this is definitely what they would be into kind of stuff. You know, there's one where it's like a girl in a schoolgirl outfit, and between her legs is a chainsaw, pointing out away from her. Not like it was chainsawing into her vagina, but that the chainsaw was being operated by her vagina. I'm not really sure. Probably you're not supposed to read technical narrative into this art. I think that's probably not the point. I don't know. This is the thing, I don't know how to interpret art. I mean, I guess I could just make stuff up, you know, about like, oh, this represents, you know, the vagina is actually powerful. We don't think of the vagina as powerful because it's not manifest outside of the body. But when you put a chainsaw there, you show, you know, the empires have been destroyed by the vagina, right? The reproduction of the human race has caused deforestation on a massive level. So really, in a lot of ways, the vagina is much deadlier than the chainsaw. There you go. But, like, maybe this is the problem I have with art. Or, like, visual art, sometimes, is like, I think sometimes you can look at a piece of visual art and be like, that took some time and effort, and I think that's, this person definitely has something to say. Like, I feel like there's a thing going on here, and they have a voice of sorts. Like I saw, you know, I saw an exhibit by the photographer David LaChapelle, who I think a lot of people probably would cast off as being like, ah, he's just like a pop culture piece of shit kind of guy. And, he's kind of doing this thing that a lot of people have done, but I think he is really interesting, and the way he does, the way his photos look don't look like other people's photos. When you're in a room full of his stuff, it feels like you're in one body of work, right? And this stuff was, I don't know, there was like a lady looking sad by a train, there was a machine gun gas mask, there was chainsaw vagina, just stuff like that. Girl with a lot of tattoos in an alley facing away from the camera with no shirt on and jeans, doing like the Janet Jackson pose, except nobody was covering up her boobs with their hands. This kind of stuff. I mean, so nothing bad about it. It's just like, I don't... It's kind of like, I'm starting to feel like about these naked lady photos a little bit like how I feel about bowls of fruit. How many does the art world need? Like, can we make a quota and be like, hey, can you photograph something else? I mean, I don't know. Can you photo... Why isn't... How about photographs of, like, I don't know... Oh, it's a woman doing something while she's naked instead of just sitting around or having a prop. You know what I mean? Yeah, I get it. She's holding a chainsaw. Big fucking deal. I don't want to look at pictures of a dude holding a chainsaw. I don't know. I've seen a chainsaw. I've seen what it does. It's not special. I'd rather watch a movie of a chainsaw chainsawing into somebody. Because at least that's got action to it. Okay, so that was number one thing. Number two was paintings of naked... naked bikini-clad women, you might call them. I don't know, they had, like, different bikinis, or some of them were naked. this is the one where there was one where a lady had, like, a Nintendo controller covering her boobs, or there was another one who was naked with a Nintendo zapper gun. There were a couple of those, actually, and in one of them, it had an interesting perspective to it, but then when you looked at it, you're like, this kind of makes it look like you drew it with a bent gun barrel. Like, not on purpose, but, like, it's got just a little curve to it because it was not done properly. So that kind of kills the mood there. Then there was one that appeared to be of, like, a tree and a couple flowers. You know, I guess vagina flowers. I wasn't really sure what was so erotic about the tree. I mean, if I was doing art interpretation, of course you can do, oh, all the life springs from the tree, and, you know, it takes in life from the earth and spouts it out as new vibrant life, and da, ba, da, da. Yeah, trees make me real fucking horny, all right? Sure, we've all seen a tree where one of the limbs looks like a huge wiener. That's erotic. But a regular old tree, meh. Then there were two small dioramas of basically fuck motels that lit up and, you know, they lit up and flashed lights and stuff. I mean, those are cool. I haven't seen a diorama in a while. I didn't really think that diorama was something I really was interested in, but I guess so. I don't know. I could go to a museum and look at some dioramas. And not of ones that's like, I don't know, some fucking seagull on a shitty-looking beach. I don't need that. I've seen that. Or if you just tell me, like, okay, imagine a beach, except instead of sand, it's like black rocks, and it looks really fucking cold, and there's like a seagull standing around. I got it. I'm with you. Sadly, you don't really have to paint a word picture for that one. But you know, fuck motel? Alright. Hey, I'll see what your interpretation of fuck motel is, I guess. There are little clay people inside. Banging each other, I guess. I don't know. Then, there was also, some more nude pictures. Just, it was like paintings of naked people, naked women. All women, by the way. I don't think there was any men stuff. Oh, there was beadwork, which is where beads are made in a design, and I couldn't figure out what it was, and then I was like, oh, it's a penis. Like, a lot of these shapes were penises, and I was like, well, that makes sense. I'm like, yeah, that fits. Penis and balls. You know, the way they make it look, a lot of times when people draw a penis and balls, or, like, artistically render it, I feel like they make it look like the penis, the balls are, like, attached to the shaft of the penis, which they kind of are, but they're, like, further back and attached to the undercarriage more, I think. I don't know, maybe I just admitted that I have weird balls, but I'm pretty sure, like, I don't feel like my balls are sort of dangling off my penis swinging around. I feel like they are firmly attached underneath. So anyway, there was a penis with some balls on it in beadwork. So that's something. That's something I got to see. But yeah, I don't know. The naked people were just naked people. And here's what was weird. There's something to be said for and against being at an art thing where the people who make the art are also there. Because I'm looking at these fucking naked people, and, well, it's hard to not like the art when someone who made it is there, right? Like, you can't really, it's not like you're going to stand there and be like, well, you want my honest opinion? I don't really care. Or, hey, these penises looks like the balls are attached to the penis. I don't think that's really how it works, or certainly not how it feels, which is interesting. That would be my erotic art show. Basically, how it feels like balls are attached. Or, you know, I would do an art show, maybe you get a bunch of kids, and you have like a naked picture of a woman, and you'd have the kid dip his finger in finger paint and then be like, point to where the opening in this woman's vagina is. And then you probably go to jail. But I bet it'd be interesting to find out, you know, where exactly they thought it was. You superimpose all the different pictures, and you get, like, kind of a scatter plot. How much do our kids know about sex these days? But yeah, I don't know. Having the artist there is cool. If you really like the art, it's kind of cool. Except, even then, like, what do you say? I never know what to fucking say to somebody like that. Like, hey, cool art. Thanks. I guess you did painting. You made paint onto this. Yeah, I did. Oh, that's cool. How long does something like this take? You know, stuff like that that is like... I'm sure if you paint a picture, you're not really into that question. Like, how long does it take to paint something like that? I mean, that's what I'm into. Not because I'm trying to assess a value. I'm just curious. I want to know. I have no fucking idea. For all I know, painting a painting takes like an hour, or it takes like 5 fucking days. I don't know. I mean, what I do know is it seems like most artistic endeavors take way longer than is evidenced on the piece of art. So I assume painting is the same way, too. Anyway, in addition to the art, though, there was like a whole slew of erotic events. Which definitely brought out some weirdos, for sure. So first we had, they were making like rope corsets, which I guess is you take a rope and tie it around someone in a weird way, and then it's like a corset, which I have no interest in because I don't wear a corset. Nor will I. That's not for me. And then there was an introduction by some lady basically talking about May Day. I guess yesterday was May Day, maybe? And sort of the... I can't remember what she was, like a Satanist or some shit like that, pagan, I don't know. And she was talking about it, and I guess she's like, well, they put a ring over a pole and then lower the ring over the pole, and that's a vagina going over a penis. Which I was like, that's interesting. Like, it's interesting in that I'm like, don't kids like dance around that? So they're dancing around a giant penis and pulling a vagina down onto a giant penis. That's a little weird, but I don't know, it's probably not the weirdest thing, especially considering no one really does it anymore. I feel like seeing kids dancing with ribbons around a maypole is like something that exists only for, you know, animated versions of old fairy tales or something. And they're like, and then the children all rejoiced at the May Day Fair, and you're like, okay. You know, when I was a kid, did you guys do this? I felt like at some point, somebody, maybe like the Brock's Corporation or something, tried to turn May Day into a holiday where you basically ding-dong ditched people and you left a little basket of candy on their porch. And that was May Day. So it was like a mini Easter basket, but you also, I mean, you ding-dong ditch somebody, but then you also leave them candy. So you're not really ding-dong ditching, you're just not. It's actually the perfect situation. It's what you want. You know, you want someone to bring you a thing of candy, but you don't want to stand around and fucking talk to them for a half hour. Like, just leave it and run away as fast as you can. That's fine. Did other people do that as a kid? Also, are other people familiar with the term N-word knocking for that activity of ringing a doorbell and walking away? Is that what other people, have other people heard that term? And what is that? I would like to know the origin of that. Is that something that kids did to black people? Because, I mean, it's annoying, but it's not like, it doesn't have quite the effect, I would imagine, of, like, burning a cross on someone's lawn, for example, or coming to their house in a hood. It just, of the things I've heard of, the many, many bad things people do to black people to be racist, that one seems like a prankish, light sort of thing. I don't know. Ineffective, maybe. Or not scary. Is that the basic term I'm looking for? Maybe it's like May Day, this candy thing was like, here's what we're going to do. Because if you are going to go ding-dong ditching, what you should probably do is just carry a basket of candy, a little basket with some fucking mixed candy in it, some shitty jelly beans. And then if you get caught, then you just be like, oh, I was going to leave this fucking basket on your porch for May Day. And they say it's June, and then you're like, I don't know. Well, do you want it or not? Sorry, I rang your fucking doorbell. I'm sorry, is it a crime to ring your doorbell? It's just out here. Out here on the streets. I mean, I would have little sympathy for that in some ways. You know, I come home the other day, there's two, like, upturned shot glasses sitting right on our porch. And I was like, oh, some people decided to stop here and have a shot together. That's nice. Nice that they left their glasses here. I appreciate that. That's a comforting thought. But, yeah, I want answers. I want to know what this May Day thing is all about. So anyway, I guess the May ring of flowers, the Mayflower, going down the Maypole is a sex thing, which is not... Is this like the equivalent of like an American Pie movie in colonial days? They're like, watch this, and then they put a ring through a pole, and then they're like, get it? And everyone's like, oh shit, I can't believe we did this in the town square. That we had a sex... Would this like get people real fucking horny? Like they'd see that and be like, ooh, maybe I'm gonna do that with my wife, except instead of a pole sticking out of the ground, it's my penis sticking out of my body. If you're catching my drift. Which, yes, we are. Because there's no drift. There's no subtext. That's text. So she talked, and it was fine. I don't know. It seemed like she wasn't really prepared. But she also seemed like a sort of weird, burned-out old hippie lady, so that's not a surprise. Then we were treated to a burlesque dance. I've spoken before about my feelings on burlesque. And I would say they remain unchanged at this juncture, although I don't know if what I saw was, like, very competent burlesque. Here's what it was. Is this lady, she gets on stage in a very militaristic outfit, like, with a long coat and a hat that, like, fucking Hitler would have worn, and boots, and a skirt, maybe? I don't know, and she gets on stage and kind of... She has a song, and she's dancing to the song, and, like, she wasn't quite in time with the song, and it felt... All I could imagine was her in her apartment practicing this, and I was like, I feel like she didn't practice this as much as she wanted to. Like, I feel like she's nervous right now, and she probably should be, because I don't think she nailed it. I don't think she nailed it 10 times in her apartment before doing it in front of a group of complete fucking strangers where she's also, like, kind of taking her clothes off. Because she, like, takes her skirt off and she's in underpants. And she took, like, part of her jacket off or something and you could sort of see her boobs, but she had, like, stickers. It's that weird... Here's a weird rule about boobs. As long as you don't see the nipple, doesn't fucking matter. I guess. Like, it doesn't count as nudity if I don't see the nipple. Which is crazy, because if you think about it, I'm sure there's many a person out there who's got large boobs and small nipples, right? That's gotta exist from time to time. Or at least where the percentage of boob that's covered by a nipple is, like, in the 10% range, maybe? And how is that fair? How does that work? I am voting that we just create a standard diameter, and that's, you know, whatever. If your nipples are bigger than that, then you can cover them or not. That's up to you. But this is our standard nudity. At this diameter of a cover, you're nude. At this not diameter of a cover, you're not nude. Although it should really be a ratio of breast size to coverage, right? Because if you had huge, enormous boobs, and then, you know, you covered the same amount that someone with, like, real small boobs did, the small boobs would be totally covered and the big ones would be barely covered at all. So that's not equitable. It needs to be a ratio, like a certain percent. 10% of your breast surface area must be covered or something like that. But no, the rule is just if I can't see your nipple, then I'm not seeing your boob. Which is crazy. Because if you're just barely covering your nipple, my brain can do the rest. I can do the math on that. Thank you very much. I can and probably do, or at least can't not. Like, I wish I could not do the math on that, but I do. It happens in my brain. Anyway, her dancing was, like, not dancing. It was, like, hip thrust on the beat, then, you know, sort of a weird prancy walk across the stage and then hip thrust on the other beat, or, you know, sort of crescendo of the song. There was also like a old sort of Dr. Strangelove style bomb on stage, which she kind of rode on top of for a little while and then awkwardly dismounted. Just a lot of sort of humping motions, I guess. And then there was a weird part where she got off the stage and there was a railing, and she kind of leaned up against the railing and then lifted her leg up and straddled the railing and then brought her leg over the other side, which I wondered if she'd planned that, because it was like the railing height would have made that look really silly depending on how tall it was, or if that was like she got there and was just like, hey, I got a fucking idea right here, and then went for it. I don't know, but I want to know. I want to know how this worked. There you go. So that was the burlesque I saw. I don't know. It didn't sell me on the art of burlesque, I'll tell you that right now. And, I think there's probably a lady confidence in body aspect of it that, I don't personally identify with, but if that's what you're looking for, that's fine. I don't know, man. I just wish there was a way for people to... Okay, I go to this thing and I recognize, like, this is not about me, okay? This isn't about me. I'm in the audience. But on the other hand, if it's not about me, then can't you just get the body confidence in your own apartment? So in some ways it is and it isn't. Like, I'm sort of complicit in this whole thing, and I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like I'm being victimized by someone else's need to have body confidence or something. I don't know. Not a complaint, it's an awkward feeling, I guess, where it has nothing to do with the attractiveness of the person. It's purely because I'm like, what am I doing exactly? Do you guys need me here? Can I get going, or... And then there was a stripper doing, like, lessons, like how to do stripping, how to strip, I guess. And she was dressed like a stripper. And so this lady got up and got in the chair, and then she was demonstrating on her. Although the stripper had a super hoarse voice because she was ill. So she was hard to hear, and also it killed some of the romance of it, if we can be so generous as to call this romance. I don't know. I mean, she was kind of talking about, like, oh, do this. And she was saying, like, yeah, kiss up and down their neck. And I was like, ew, no, I don't want that. Like, who wants that? I get, you know, if your significant other was stripping or whatever, sure. But, like, if I went to a strip club, I don't know if I want someone kissing my neck. I mean, I have, you know, issues about being touched and stuff, but that seems like a bridge too far, or not necessary. I don't need that. Let's not do that part, you know. And then she's like, yeah, maintain contact. And then she's like, oh, and here's how you do grinding. And then was just grinding on this lady, and I was like, all right, I don't think I'm learning a lot here. I think that here's what's weird about, like, learning to strip, quote unquote. I kind of think that I think people know how to strip and to be sexy taking their clothes off. I think it's mostly just about having the confidence to do it, or the willingness, in a professional setting, the willingness to do it for money and seem like you're having a good time. I mean, I think that's like half of what a stripper gets paid for, is like, hey, if you can take your clothes off and pretend that you like people and that you're enjoying what you're doing, getting naked here, you'll probably be at least mildly successful. I don't know if it's so much about the acrobatics, right? Like, I've never heard someone be like, dude, we gotta go to this strip club. They got a girl that hangs upside down. Like, who cares? So what? So she's upside down. Okay, good. Well, thank God. I'll take my boobs upside down. Thank you very much. I think it's just more about the general attractiveness. Also, well, I don't know. This is a whole different world for me. Like, the world I live in, strip clubs are like a lark. And people go, maybe half a dozen times in a lifetime, right? Like, you just kind of, you end up going, no one I know seems to really plan to go, or like, have a regular strip club time or something like that. I could be totally wrong, but from what I know of everyone I know, they just kind of end up there because you go to a fucking bachelor party or a bachelorette party in some people's cases, wink, and someone's like, let's go to a strip club. Or every time you go to like a bachelor party, there's someone who's dead set on going to a strip club where they're like, so when does the strip club part happen? And doesn't usually seem to be the bachelor. It's more like, when can we either inflict a stripper on this person, or when can I take my once annual yearly justified trip to a strip club where it's not sad? Because I'm like, hey, it's his bachelor party. I had to. You know, somebody should just put up a Craigslist thing that's like, you know, hey, I'm having a bachelor party. So if you want to have an excuse to go to a strip club, here's when we're going. And, you know, just give me a little card that says your name and stuff on it, and then you can have your wife call me. And if you buy me a couple drinks, we'll call it even. These are my brilliant ideas for a new business. There was, I was talking to my girlfriend, texting today, and she was at a spelling bee that I guess was, like, for adults, which is really weird, because the guy I was staying with was telling me, you know, he used to live in Portland, and how cool it was because everything, there's always something going on, you know, and he was saying he would go to a weekly spelling bee at this bar, but he was saying how it's hard to get other people to go out, because there's so much stuff going on, you're kind of spoiled, and you just don't, eventually you just, like, retreat from it a little, and you're also like, I gotta live a normal life, like, I gotta go to fucking work tomorrow. And so then my girlfriend was at one too. And apparently there was beer there. And it, but here's where I got disappointed. Cause she was like, yeah, a bunch of people got out from some word. And then I was like, wait a minute. Isn't this an adult spelling bee? Shouldn't the words be shit like, well, here are some words I suggested. Clitoris, transvaginal mesh, dildonics, stuff like that. You know, and she's like, dildonics isn't a word. And I was like, it's like an Urban Dictionary word. It's a fucking adult spelling bee. And also, if everyone's spelling the same fucking words in these spelling bees, then everyone's cheating because they already have access to the answers. God forbid people have to be a little fucking creative and maybe spell a word they don't know. Right? Because when you go to these spelling bees, I'll tell you right now, because I've judged, I don't know, half a dozen at least. You go, and you're reading the words to the kids, they don't fucking know most of the words. They know some, and it's not because they're dumb, it's because the words are crazy. You know, the words are spelling bee words, not like words that people use in real life. You don't spell real life in spelling bee, you know what I mean? Spell the word class. Like, that's boring. They're like, spell the word insouciant. And you're like, oh, Jesus Christ, okay. So that's, I would like to, I was thinking, should start an adult, should have an adult spelling bee, but all the words are pulled from, Urban Dictionary. Like, Urban Dictionary is gonna be the Bible in terms of how these things are spelled, punctuated, and the like. And also for the definition. Like, whatever the number one agreed upon one on Urban Dictionary is, that's what we go with. And so, I guess we'd have to see if dildonics was in there. But that'd be pretty fun. And then, you know, you have your first round. That's your written round. Everyone participates, and then you take your top however many from that, and then they do the spell off. And every round you get through the spell off, that's another round of drinks you can have. Seems like a win. Anyway. So, yeah, and then the guy was like, well, I gotta get back to the library. And I was like, okay, see you later. And then I was still in the erotic show sort of watching the stripper. And then I was like, what am I doing here? Like, I need to get out of here. And then I wanted to wait until he left the parking lot because I felt like it would be weird for me to be like, all right, see you later. And then he immediately seems to me come out. This is how, like, weird of a person I am, I guess. I'm like, I'm at this erotic thing that I went to because I didn't want someone else to feel uncomfortable. And now I'm staying longer than I even want to because I don't want them to feel uncomfortable. But at the same time, I'm like, or is it more uncomfortable if I'm like, I'm fucking staying at the sex show or whatever? I guess here's the thing, like up in the mountain town or whatever, you go to the sex show. It's an interesting thing because you're like, I didn't know this many like sex weirdos lived up here. And I mean weirdos in a nice way, but not normal people. I don't know. Fuck this PC bullshit. Like, they're weirdos. And they're fine. I'm not judging someone for being a weirdo, but they're weirdos. Okay? I consider myself a weirdo in that way as well. I was there. I was fucking there. I stayed longer than the guy who brought me. I went there with another dude who I barely knew, and I was staying at his house that night. Who's the weirdo? Who's the weirdo now? Grand Junction? Grand Junction Erotic Art Show? Can you beat that? Can you beat my weirdo score there? Ugh, yeah. So anyway, that was kind of the night there. Also, you know, I just went to the store and shit, ran into a couple bums. Mountain bums. We have this like special breed of bum. You'll find in these mountain towns or like your Moab, Utahs and the like. And they're bums, but they're different. Like, they seem to look less like, camping, like, urban campers of some kind, and they're more like, they look like guys who could be contractors, who just got off work and they're just super tired, so they're sitting down on a stoop somewhere. There was one sitting outside when I went into, like, the city market or whatever, and I couldn't tell for sure. I was like, I don't know, maybe he's on a fucking break. That's a bad sign, by the way, if you work at that place, and I'm like, I can't tell if this is a crazed bum or a guy who works at your place who's on a break. I'm not totally sure right now. You know, any clarity you can provide on that would be fantastic. I couldn't tell, but on the way out I could tell, because he was, like, shaking and whatever. And I was like, oh, okay, this is a weird guy. Mountain bums are so weird because I'm not sure how they get to where they are. I mean, I guess there's a city up there. Maybe he has always lived there. I wonder that too. Like, if you took the typical bum and found out where they originated, do people tend to move as bums? Like, if you're a bum and you grew up in Denver, would you be like, well, I guess I might as well go to fucking Chicago or something? Or do you just hang? Do you just say, like, oh, I'm not going anywhere. Where am I going? Why would I go somewhere? I don't know. Well, I could tell you why you would go somewhere. You would go somewhere because that's fucking awkward. I mean, it's bad enough. I feel bad when I run into people from growing up because I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of a grown-up but also kind of just a shithead too. And they're like, what are you doing with your life? And I'm like, hey, nothing. You know, what's new? And you're like, nothing. I feel like you almost have to move away from home just so that way when people are like, hey, so what's new? And you're like, ah, I moved to fucking Kansas. I don't think it even matters where you move. You just got to go somewhere. Because then you at least have a one-sentence answer to that question, that inevitable party question. Or, you know, so what do you do? Oh, well, I just moved here from somewhere else. Oh, cool. Now we can not talk anymore or talk about something else. But as a bum, that's got to be extra weird, right? See a guy from high school and you're like, oh, fuck. I hope I'm scraggly enough that I'm not recognized. Because this is awkward. I mean, he doesn't look like he's doing great. He's in a... But... flip side. Jesus. If you're by any chance listening to this and planning your high school reunion... if there's somebody who's gone bum, make sure and get them invited to that fucking reunion, for sure. Because here's the thing, like, you know, I'll be coming there in my reunion and I'm like, yeah, I work at Best Buy, so I'm not real happy about that, but that's where I am. But if somebody else, if there's like, oh yeah, somebody else, would you hear about him? He's a fucking bum. He got here on like high school reunion scholarship. It's the only way he made it here. how he's going to get home, no one knows. You know, they gave him the Golden Bindle Award, and now he's just on his way out. He's filled up a whole sack, a garbage sack full of punch, and now he's leaving. That would make... it would not matter what had happened. You know, I'd be like, well, I'm fat, bald, divorced, and have no life prospects. And it's like, but... I don't know, at least I have the wherewithal to get divorced. Like, I can sign papers and shit. I have things that someone can take some of. That's something. That's something that that's proof of life. You know? I don't feel like if I roll over and die tomorrow, no one will fucking know. Yeah, the mountain bum, though. I wonder, because it seems like the mountain towns have an inordinate number of bums. But then I also wonder if that's just because when I'm in a town where I don't live, that's when I tend to kind of go to their, like, Main Street USA section, where there's just a lot of people hanging around and where bums seem to congregate to. Like, I go to Denver every time. Probably one out of the 10 times I go to Denver do I even cross the 16th Street Mall, and that's where a lot of the bums hang out. So I guess it would just seem like there aren't as many, but really there are tons. Tons of bums. That sounds like a video game from the 90s, or a board game, I mean. You know, like in the 90s, every fucking board game had some kind of mousetrap-style device. Like, we had this one, and it was like you're a hiker climbing a mountain, and it had basically a spinning top that you would screw in and push a button, and it would spin its way down the mountain trail, and if it hit your guy, then you had to start over. And, you know, obviously the most fun thing was just to set up all the little guys on the trail and just knock them the fuck down. And, like, how the game was played was probably, like, yeah, you roll the dice, you move that many squares, and then you, you know, sometimes you draw a stupid card that means nothing and doesn't really help or hurt you. It's just kind of because, I don't know, we're making a board game. We thought there should be cards. Seems like every board game needs cards. Where would we be without cards in this game? That would be preposterous. So here's your fucking card. Now spin that top. It seemed like, there was some game too that was similar, and it like released a boulder or like a lava boulder or something. Like there was an evil volcano at the top or something like that. Anyway, every game was about like stuff getting washed away, you know. So I could totally see it's like bums going up some kind of board game thing. They're like along the bus route. You're, like, trying to get to the end so you can catch the bus to go be a bum somewhere else. But stuff stops you along the way. You know, you get a card, and it's like, your panhandling was ineffective today. Stay in your spot for 3 turns. You have lice. Stay, whatever. And then there'd have to be... I'm not sure what the device is that comes and clears bums off the streets, though. Like, it's like, watch out for Officer Oruki. Right, if Oruki comes, he's gonna fucking clear this town, clear him out. Then he hits you with his nightstick and you go back to start, my friend. Do not collect $200. Unless you do go to the plasma donation, then I guess go for it. Then, yes, you collect $200. Although it's actually $20. It'd kind of be like Monopoly, except all the numbers are just drastically reduced. My windshield is becoming like a complete insect killing field. Like, this is crazy talk. This is like just a complete insect holocaust. And I cleaned my windshield before I left. On my way here, I was like, I guess I'll give this a clean, because I'm not going to be able to see through this in the dark. All the lights will reflect off these bugs' bodies. That's the ultimate bug death revenge. Like, well, you kill me? Well, maybe I'll blind you in the dark and kill you. Or get you in a fender bender at the least. That's something I can do to have an effect on this world. I'm just a bug. But if we all band together and clog up this windshield like a motherfucker. Like a mubug fucker. Alright, guys. That looks like all we've got for today's show. Still speeding on my way home here. So, we'll see. I think we'll probably get in another one before I get there. This will be like five goddamn shows from this one trip. So I guess I should just start making regular trips places in the car by myself. And that's how I'll get these recorded. But I miss sitting at the table. And I don't have my internets. Not as cool. We're hoping to also get a new computer soon. I am. I desperately need one. And, so the good news with that is, you know, we can probably do some call-ins and stuff like that. Have some guests, perhaps. Maybe, perhaps. And, do some more expansions. But other than that, let's keep on chugging, motherfuckers. Oh, other quick announcement. Aaron and Ian, both winners of, both different kinds of winners within Helpful Snowball. Aaron, the actual winner. Ian, also a winner because winners don't use drugs. And I believe, Aaron, you've got two episodes that, you know, you can basically decide what they need to be about. And Ian, I believe, has one. So let me know if you've got some things. If you got some things that need the Helpful Snowman treatment, whether it be pop culture or crap culture, pop culture or top culture, or nonsense, whatever it may be, just let me know, and I will do it. I also have trophies for both of you. Beautifully coated in a gold coating of sorts. Gold with an asterisk above it and probably below just to emphasize it, you know. And before it, maybe somewhere in the center. If that gives you an idea of how not gold this gold is, but it's gold. Don't worry, it's gold. Golden trophies for both of you that I need to get put in the mail. Last announcement. I have several Helpful Snowman buttons remaining in my collection. If you're interested in a Helpful Snowman button, please send your address to me, and I will put it in an envelope and send it to you. I've had mixed results sending these out of the country, so I don't know. Send me your address, but send it to me exactly as it appears on an envelope, because I am too fucking stupid to figure it out myself. I had a Canadian address that I sent a thing to, I think, three times, and I don't know if it ever got there. But I didn't really know where the different parts of the address actually were supposed to go. Like, it was impossible to say. Where does Ontario go? Where do these numbers go? What's a province? I don't know. Doesn't everyone in Canada just know this person? You're like, oh, just give it to Steve? Okay, cool. Oh, which Steve? Well, I don't know. Is there a boy one? Yes, okay, that one. Just give it to him. Or if it's not him, just give it to the other one, and he'll be like, oh, I don't think that's for me. I'm nice and Canadian, so. But I'll pass it on to regular Steve. It's kind of my fault for opening something that wasn't for me. Anyway, so yeah, if you want a button, just fucking send me your address, email, or private message me on Twitter. You could Facebook me, and I'll get it eventually. All right. Talk to you guys next time.